Maybe you've heard the joke about the pastor and the priest that were standing by the side of the road holding a sign that said, "The end is near, turn around now." And a guy comes zooming by in his car and yells out the window, "Stay away from us, you religious nuts." And the car turns the corner and the priest and the pastor hear a screech of brakes and then a splash. And the priest turns to the pastor and says, "Maybe we should have a sign that says bridge out instead." So, believe it or not, that is appropriate to the sermon this morning because the end is near. That is what we are going to be talking about because this is the beginning of the Advent season. And Advent means coming, and you could hear the echoes of that in the readings today. The gospel talked about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. We're getting ready in 4 weeks' time to celebrate Christmas and Christ's coming at Bethlehem, but we're also thinking a little bit about his second coming at the end of time. And you hear that being reflected in the epistle for today from Paul's letter to the Romans. So take out your Bibles. There's a Bible in the pew in front of you, and there's a hymnal, but get the Bible and open it up to the epistle, which is on page 1206, 1206. It's Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. We're going to look at Romans 13, 11 through 14 on 1206, and we're going to have an exegetical sermon this morning, which means that we're going to go down and look at each verse one at a time. So let's look at verse 11, and we'll read it together. "Besides, this you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." And so Paul begins with this kind of alarm clock metaphor, wake up, and to just get you in that mood, here is a little video.
Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
So hopefully that was you were able to wake up from your after Thanksgiving stupor this morning with the alarm clock. So we're going to look at what Paul has to say to us, and we're going to concentrate on wake up, clean up, and grow up. So these are the three themes we're going to be thinking about this morning. And so first comes wake up. You know, I've been living in this country for quite a few years now, and I look back over my life, and maybe you do the same thing, and you consider how the world has changed in that time. I know that the century that I was born into, the 20th century, has been known as the most violent century in the history of mankind. Two world wars, and indeed 19 wars that the United States has been involved in since that time. So a violent time. But you look at our own century, and it seems that the world is becoming even more violent. You remember maybe a few years ago when those kids and that family was killed down in Mexico on their way to a wedding, and I saw the news feed this morning that the drug cartel in that same area had attacked a police station or a city center in a little small town down there and shot it full of holes and killed four policemen. And you think about that kind of violence. And just out of curiosity, I looked up which places were the most violent in the country as far as gun killings. And you know, there are all kinds of places in South America, but do you know that the United States is way above Mexico when it comes to gun violence? It's up with some of the worst places in South America. And you think about how much more violent our country has become, and where words like active shooter and lockdown and ghost gun have all kind of crept into our vocabulary, and we think nothing about it. And then, you know, you consider the hate speech that is out there and how things that were considered totally inappropriate years ago have become commonplace. And you wonder when it's all going to end. When is God going to say, enough is enough? You know, Jesus at one point said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and nations will rise up against nations, and then the end will come. In other words, it's not going to last forever. God's going to pull the plug on it one of these days. And are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? And by that I mean, not only are we ready for the world to end, but our job as Christians is to be a part of the Great Commission, to make disciples in Jesus' name. Are we out there doing that? Are we sharing the good news and the love of Christ? And is Christ going to be the center of our celebration this Christmas? And if he's not right there in the center, then we need to wake up and remember who we are as the people of God and what we have been placed here in this world to represent, who we have been placed here in this world to represent. So first is wake up. And then comes cleanup. Cleanup. You know, 4 weeks till Christmas, and we're still cleaning up the Thanksgiving leftovers. We need to vacuum the carpet, scrub the floors, clean the bathrooms, buy the gifts, wrap the presents, put up the tree, you know, all the things that go into cleaning up and getting ready to celebrate Christmas. It goes on and on sometimes. And it's not only about Christmas, but will we be ready for Jesus when he comes again? And in our text, Paul uses the images of light and darkness not only to talk about day and night, but to talk about good and evil. So let's look at verse 12 now of Paul's 13th chapter to the Romans. I think it will come up on the screen, please. There it is. Let's read that together. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And maybe you've heard the phrase, that nothing good happens in the city after midnight. Well, when my kids, we raised three teenage boys, when they were growing up, we took that seriously. And so the rule in our house was whatever your grade in school, that's what time you had to be in. So if you were in ninth grade, you had to be in at 9 o'clock. 10th grade, 10 o'clock, 11th grade, 11 o'clock, 12th grade, 12 o'clock, because nothing good happens in the city after midnight. Be home. Paul is saying that we need to be aware that the world out there is full of all kinds of evil, for all kinds of temptations, and we need to guard ourselves and guard our families against that. And the way this verse ends, put on the armor of light, implies to me that when you are serious about living godly lives and doing that not only on Sunday morning for an hour, but with your family, that godliness can protect you, be armor against the evil in the world. So we need to clean up our act, Paul says. And if we go on to the next verse, verse 13, this, now Paul warns us against some of the ungodliness and evil that can creep into our lives. And those warnings come in the form of couplets, kind of paired words. So let's read that together. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. So Paul warns us about a number of things. And you know, I'm past 60 now, so orgies and drunkenness are not on my list. But quarreling and jealousy, I'm down for that. I can get into that. And I think for all of us, you know, we have our different personalities. We are at different stages in our lives. We have different weaknesses. And Satan knows them full well. And he uses those things against us as he throws the temptations at us that cause us to give up the godly way of living. Now, in Australia, there's this plant that lives out in the outback called the sundew. And it is a beautiful little plant. It lives, thrives out there in the dry area of the outback. And it has these beautiful, slender green stems and gorgeous pink blossoms and fine hairs all over the leaves. And at the end of each hair is what looks like a drop of dew, but it's not dew. And woe to any insect that is tempted to land on that plant and get the water, because what it is in reality is a sticky substance that traps the insect. And as the insect struggles against the plant, the leaf curls itself around the insect, and the enzymes in the sundew literally consume, eat the insect alive. And that is exactly what Satan is trying to do with each and every one of us. These temptations come at us every day, and Satan uses them to destroy us. He wraps himself around our lives. He uses them to destroy our families. He uses them to destroy even our health. And we can't avoid the temptations. They're all over the place in this world. But we need to find a way to resist them. We need to find a way to resist them. There's an old Indian proverb. And it's about two wolves. And it says that inside each person, two wolves are at war. They are battling and struggling against each other. And one wolf is a good wolf, a wolf of love and compassion and kindness, a wolf that kind of builds up and encourages the others in the pack. And the other wolf is an evil wolf, a wolf of jealousy and quarreling, a wolf that bites and tears down and destroys other people's reputations and is just all about destruction. And those wolves are at battle within each person, the legend goes. And a young Indian boy asked his father, which of these wolves will win the battle for my life? He asked his father, and his father wisely answered, the one you feed, the one you feed. And so today I am asking you to feed the Spirit of Christ within you to avoid the temptations of this world. And how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you do that by gathering together to worship. Certainly there's a strength that comes from us gathering to worship God each week. Putting him first in your life, that's hard to do in the world we live in, but putting God first, gathering together to worship, reading his word, gathering together in the DLT groups to receive mutual support, prayer, devotions. I mean, this is Advent, the first Sunday in Advent. It's the beginning of the new church year. It's a perfect time to begin a practice of daily devotion and prayer if you're not only doing that. And it's easy to do. One way is to sign up to write a piece of the Bible for me. I hope you're going to do that, because Danny said that if there are any chapters left over, I'm going to have to write those myself. So please sign up. But also, Google on your phone, Advent Devotions, and you'll have all kinds of resources pop up. One I like is the one from Biola University in California, because it is poetry, it is scripture, it is a devotional message, it is music, it is artwork, it's kind of a feast for the senses. But get into a devotional habit and practice every single day so that the Spirit of Christ might be fed and grow within you. And then think about who you are as a Christian. Let's look at verse 14. I don't know if we have that. You still have that up there? And let's read that together. Verse 14, yeah, there it is. Nope, yeah, that's it. Grow up. Let's read it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. You know, you think about these crosses that we wear. I'm a pastor, so I get to wear a big one. But a lot of us put on these pieces of jewelry, put on Jesus. And let's go to the slide on the soldiers. The 3rd Infantry Regiment of the United States Army is known as the Old Guard. And you know probably what they do, don't you? What do they do? They guard the Tomb of the Unknowns down at Arlington National Cemetery. And every day they spend 5 hours preparing for their duty. They've been doing this, the men and women in this unit, very elite unit, since 1930. Rain or shine, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, walking up and down, 21 steps one way, 21 steps back, a symbol of the salute, the 21-gun salute. And two-star general Dan York wrote a devotion about the Old Guard several years ago that I'd like to share with you. I got it because I was doing my devotions one morning, and so I'd like to share that devotion with you. And here's what he wrote. The Old Guard must commit 2 years of life to guard the tomb. They live in barracks under the tomb. Imagine that, under the tomb. They vow not to drink any alcohol on or off duty or swear in public for the rest of their lives. They must not disgrace the uniform or the tomb in any way. In the first 6 months, they cannot talk to anyone outside of their unit or watch TV. All their off-duty time is spent studying the 175 notable people laid to rest in Arlington National Cemetery. After 2 years, each guard receives a wreath, and you can see that up there on the screen, a wreath pin to wear on the lapel, signifying their service as a guard of the tomb. And he writes, only 400 presently wear this pin. And when I think of the Old Guard, I wonder what it might be like if you and I committed ourselves fully to put on Christ daily. Imagine if we swore off bad habits and foul speech and studied the scriptures every day to prepare for duty. What if we faithfully worshiped God and honored his name in our hearts and with our lives? What if the cross was more than just a pretty piece of jewelry, but a sign of the highest honor, demanding total faithfulness to the one who sent his son to bear our sin? This is what we need to be about this Advent season. This is how we prepare for the coming of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to wake up, to clean up, to grow up. You know we cannot do this on our own. We have tried and failed. Just when we think we have the Christian life figured out, we fall again into temptation and sin. We need your help. Help us to put you first. Allow your Holy Spirit to bring about the change in us that you desire. This Christmas season, we will celebrate the birth of God's Son. We ask Jesus to come into our hearts and homes as we put on Christ our Lord. Amen.